Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Match Ball.
Hello and welcome to The Match Ball. Dan Moylan with you, with Rob Conlon and Moscow White as well. The show is brought to you by Levi Solicitors. There's a 10% discount on your legal fees. I've forgotten how to do it. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball.
They haven't forgotten how to do it. They're still as good.
Yeah,
they're solicitors as ever.
In many ways, better than I am, particularly at solicitoring.
I bet they're not as good at you, as good as you at interviews.
Well, thank you, Moscow.
I reckon if they were up against Angus Kinnear, they'd crumble.
Let's not get into that now.
But in a courtroom, they're great.
Yeah, although do watch that and listen to it. We bloody won. 100% record this season. Pack your bags, lads. This time next year, we're getting ready for the Europa Conference League.
Say can you... etc.
It was good, wasn't it? It was good, that. I enjoyed it.
I think that was a fun game of football.
Let's do more of it. Winning's good, isn't it? That's what we're here for.
9 more victories and we're safe.
And we're going to call it a day like Southampton and just stop trying.
We are live streaming on YouTube for RTSB Plus members. Do send us your feedback, by the way. And we've kind of amped it up, haven't we? We've enhanced it. You can leave us voice notes only via the link. Is it underneath this?
No, because you messed up the page. But
it will be.
Maybe not. Well, not while I'm watching it now. But on the menu, where it always was, you go to talk to us, TSB Plus. In there is the same old form, but now you can rate the players and the manager out of 10. And also there is an option to leave us a voice memo.
That's very exciting.
And I will have your voice on the podcast next week.
Not mine, though, because I'm very, very croaky.
We're hearing after all this, don't we? So it'll be nice to hear from other people who have better views.
What do you think of Penis Ball, then? It's exciting, isn't it? I thought it was very exciting today. I enjoyed it. It's a little bit harem scarum at times, but it's kind of that risk versus reward thing, isn't it? We're accustomed to flying by the seat of our pants, aren't we, boys, when it comes to football, because we've spent ages watching Bielsa's football.
That's all part of the fun. I like having a really glaring vulnerability in the team. Sort of panic over.
Only one.
But no, the rest of it was good. The first half, it was strange. The first half, I felt like this is going well. But then they had admittedly scored immediately, which was annoying. But then the rest of the first half, I thought, yeah, we're good. We're in control here. Mm. And then I didn't really like the 20 minutes after halftime where we couldn't get the ball off them. But then again, after that, Mateus Klich came on. He's the man. Changed it and we won.
It was begging for a change at that point, wasn't it? You could see they'd kind of figured out what to do to push us back. And I think that they'd basically started pushing their wide men further up, hadn't they, which sort of penned us in. And there were a number of times when I was just praying for us not to get caught with the big, because we're trying that big switch, weren't they, quite a lot in the first half. But we held it together, didn't we? And I think actually the changes came at the right time. So massive credit to Marsh for doing that. The right players came on in the right positions at the right time. And I think if you saw what they were playing like in that first 20 minutes of the second half, compared to what they were trying to do attacking-wise after that, you could see it had taken the wind out of their sails. You know, they were getting in behind us on the left all the time and playing those little balls in behind the fullback. And they just stopped doing that. They just started slowing down. It looked like they were demoralised. And that's good.
I think Klich was the guy as well for once we'd taken the lead. He could start sort of taking the piss back in the way that they were time-wasting massively from the fifth minute when they scored. Klich came on and there was just a lot of, is it the ball you want to take that throw in? You're going to have to come get it off my hands, and that annoyed them, which was nice.
He had it in the air at one point, didn't he?
Like
he was holding it above all the kids and then just flicking it backwards. So it's good that we still got, we can't let him go. We need that. I think today, Bruce, we need that kind of maturity at times and some of the experience at times, because that's kind of, I really liked Mark Rocker in particular in the first half, and Tyler Adams as well seemed to be, when we were pressing, Rocker was like the first to every loose ball, and we would sort of, I know you tweeted at halftime that we dominated the game in the first half. I don't think we dominated it, but we didn't let Wolves rest at all. Mm. And whenever the ball went loose, and it went loose a lot from Wolves. Rocker seemed to be there, was the first one to it, and then Adams not far behind, although quite often some silly fouls from him. But that was good. But then those two kind of getting used to the Premier League. It's cliche, isn't it? Premier League experience. But Click's got it. And also Click's got the attitude where he just doesn't care about people like Wolves.
Yeah, it's great. He just does that little thing. If you notice when he's doing his version of the pressing, just leaves himself in there just long enough, just to have a little nibble on the way through after the ball's gone.
Although it doesn't take much with Wolves, does it?
No. I did have them down. It was 12 minutes in. They had three men who'd gone down at that point.
2 minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the captain, wasn't it? Which sets the tone, doesn't it? You want to see what kind of leadership you're going to get for the rest of the season. Is your captain just lying down on the floor for no reason?
I think the pressing was really, really good. At times, when we executed it well, it was really, really good. You could see what they were trying to achieve.
Yeah, I thought the first half in particular, maybe that first half hour or so, Aronson just massively looked like a huge pest. And you think, yeah, he can look really good for us this year. He was sort of all over their defence, winning the ball high. And then likewise, when it was any Leeds player getting into just a nice bit of space and a clever piece of movement, it always seemed to be him. I thought he kind of maybe got a little bit tired or just kind of fell out of the game a little bit, but then he was the guy that popped up. Although, is it now an own goal?
He's taking credit for it. He's saying on the official channels, but I think the Premier League boring twats panel or whatever they're called have decided it's not his goal.
Well, let's resign from the division.
Like what, like the European Super League team?
Yeah, yes, we will refuse to be in this league until they give that goal to Brendan Aronson. And it was really good as well. That's probably like a great example of what we're hoping to see loads of this season, because it came out of almost nothing. I didn't think we were anywhere near scoring in that moment. It didn't look like anything was really happening. And then suddenly, bang, Click's put Bamford to the byline and it's a really good cross and Aronson scored.
And it was bloody efficient as well, wasn't it? Because we'd not had anything for that 20 minutes, yeah.
I mean, that 20 minutes was tough. And and Aronson as well, when you talk about him getting tired, I noticed on the far touchline for me, he got really easily beaten at one point and then didn't really chase his guy back. And I was thinking, where's Brendan gone? Was kind of my thought. And then that happens.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of us not having the ball for 20 minutes. I don't think that's going to be a popular tactic if we continue the rest of the season.
I'm just going to say, I don't think that was a tactic. It's just a thing that happened.
A popular thing that happened. But then being able to produce a goal out of those situations is handy, to say the least.
I think overall, I'm just going into the YouTube comments now. Perlo's Beard is agreeing with you, Mosca, saying Rocker was very good in the first half. Faded badly in the second half along with the rest of the team. But I guess that you're at that stage of the season, aren't you, where you're running on fumes because you need to get up to the full pace of the season.
Oh, we're not running on fumes.
No, like, you know, the adrenaline of...
It's, oh, God, absolutely exhausted. The training, we've been overtrained.
But they haven't played proper football for several months. But you know what I mean? Like, they're not up to the full pace of the season, so it's going to, like, tie them out. And particularly the new players have not played in the Premier League, which is relentless.
And you've got to remember as well, like I would say, there's another team on the pitch. Wolves, large, had his little tactics board out during a break at the end of the first half. He's frantically moving all the counters around. So I assume half-time, he must have told them, been in there and be like, lads, play a lot better. Because they did come out and play a lot better. And the deal was they were much smarter about the way they were keeping the ball, because the way we got so much joy in the first half, and the reason why Rocker and Adams looked so good is because there was a lot of balls there to win, either loose passes or we could get a tackle in. And Wolves kind of shut all that out. They didn't give us the opportunities to tackle them. And it broke us a little bit, because we just had to go like, oh, we cannot get the ball off this team. But then we reverted to, at least during that period, we did not let them score. And then Click comes on, we start getting the ball back and everything's happy. But yeah, so that was, that's the best Bruno Lage did. And apparently I only saw the very...
You're going to throw shade here, aren't you?
Well, I only saw the very end of this, but he started trying to have a scrap with Jesse Marsh at full time. It sounds like
Marsh loves that shit, though, doesn't he?
Well, he does.
Yeah. Absolutely loves it.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he's made it. The tweet is that I've seen is Marsh goes over to shake his hand, and then apparently Large starts having a massive strop and goes down, but marches off to the tunnel, and Jesse's like going after him to try and, I don't know if he's running after him like, come on, please, be my friend. But something's gone off, and I would like to think Jesse's maybe wound him up, but also Large is very able to wind himself up. Like, he had, whenever Wolves did start putting the ball out of play, that last 20 minutes, he was having a massive tantrum, basically.
Great
he
did fun. Not I, like I love it.
His own team.
I love it when we upset people.
Well, it was his players who were upsetting him, that's the thing. And I think he was taking out how shit his team are on our beautiful manager.
Just realise it. Sorry, it's just been pointed out, by the way, a number of people are saying that Michael's not here, because obviously Rob's here today, subbing for Michael.
Who?
Michael.
Never heard of him. Little
Judas, who's gone on holiday during the start of the season. Can't think of anybody who'd
missed
do that.
Missed the best game in ages, hasn't
he? So we can't have him back, can we? Because we've got 100% record without him.
Can't have him bringing us down today.
Jane is just saying that strop is a good word. We should have it in the US. They don't have it. It's not an American word. Greg is in America. He's in LA saying the 5-sub rule was very important for us today. I think it was. I think what I said about the subs and the legs that it gave us with players who were up to speed with the division.
It's nice to have actual midfielders to bring on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who knew? That's a good plan.
That is a good tactic.
Yeah, so I thought Click was... It needed something changing in that second half. I'm not really sure why they suddenly just had all the ball and we couldn't get it off them. But then Rodrigo got brought off for Click, and Rodrigo did have a big tantrum as he walked off, I think. He did a big punch to the back of the bench, which, I don't know, start of the second half, I was like, I don't really know who's playing for us, because we just couldn't get the ball. But then as soon as Click came on, like, his first touch was just to keep the ball and pass to a Leeds player.
I was going to say, we did stay compact, even though it wasn't working at that point. It got to like an hour, 65 minutes, and you thought something needs to change here, just to freshen it up, give us maybe some new legs here in midfield. Because I think maybe they were puffing a little bit at that point, and particularly the midfield. It was interesting that he took Rocker off and put Sam Greenwood on, because previously you might have thought, God, that really weakens us. But no, I thought he came on and he did a really good job, just buzzed around there. And the same with Click as well, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, in the cast of midfielders we had to bring on is we took off a defensive midfielder and brought on a player who we thought until the end of last season was a striker to make us more solid in the middle. Very strange. Everything's new, isn't it? The weird season we're having already.
Yeah, Richard is just saying in the comments, I thought Rodrigo was unfortunate to get hooked, but it was a good call.
Why Rodrigo had to go off is because his pre-match, you know, some of the players have their own personal pre-match graphics.
Yeah.
His described us as Leeds UFC.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm surprised he was even picked today. You'd leave him out. You'd sell him. Never mind the beautiful goal that he scored and the fantastic feet and blasting it under the goalkeeper and his wild, wild celebrations. He absolutely loved scoring that, and I loved him scoring it, but it's hard to forgive him when he's done Leeds UFC.
Moscow, let me just prepare the bell, because did you have a little telly today?
Yes, there was a little telly.
That's
yes.
The little telly bell.
Oh, this will be the penalty, won't it?
Yeah, should we have had one?
You can't punch people.
Did he punch him?
Christensen now has a big shine under his other eye as well. He got the left black eye of Cagliari.
Yep.
And now he had one definitely on this one, which maybe...
Is that a deliberate choice?
For his defending for the first goal, perhaps he deserved it. But I think the only reason it wasn't a penalty that I can think of, because obviously there's no explanation, I only have the pictures, and you're trying to guess why the referee and VAR have done what they have done, was that the goalkeeper didn't even look at Christensen once. His eyes are all over here. Christensen is here, but he flies into him with his hand into his cheek.
Mm. That sounds like an assault to me, Moscow.
It was pretty bad.
You get jailed for doing that down Brigget on Saturday night.
I mean, you wouldn't do it because you wouldn't look over there and go flying into somewhere over there.
You don't know that. I've seen McDonald's down there.
True. I guess you feel it was a definite lack of coordination, but that's it. I can only think it wasn't a penalty because they've decided he didn't set out to go and punch him in the eye, but it was reckless because he just wasn't looking at him and went flying. I mean, he must have known the player was there, even if he's not had a proper eyeballing on him.
Sounds like a vicious assault.
It was pretty... I think it should have been a penalty.
And so did the crowd. Everyone in the crowd was thinking, where the heck is VAR inside Elland Road, weren't they? We weren't happy in there.
He's an interesting character, isn't he, old Rasmus? He had a...
He went full Pontus at full time, you see?
Yeah. Obviously, he was at fault for the goal, but then he did make up for it with a brilliant tackle in the second half.
And the little telly view of that tackle it's an absolutely brilliant...
Because they were just walking through to go one-on-one at that point. That was in that scary 20 minutes, and it looked like, oh, right, here's the goal, they're finally going to score. And it was a great tackle. So I guess he made up for it. And yeah, going full Pontus at the end there with... he was at the cop and... Jesse and Ilan were at the south stand.
John is saying, Dan, you'll need to drop those regional references if you want to keep the new American subscribers. Never. We're integrating you into our world. Brigget is a big shopping street, the main thoroughfare through the centre of Leeds. McDonald's is there. It's like downtown.
Yeah.
Main Street, USA.
I think we can trust our American listeners have heard of McDonald's.
Well, John's insulting their intelligence.
And can picture what that might be like.
And a fisting down Brigget late at night.
I mean, there's something we perhaps will...
Do you think they have fisting? Let's move on.
Christensen had a bad sinking feeling start, wasn't it? Because when you've come in with the hard man reputation and with the video they put out before the game to pump everybody up, starts with him staring down the camera being like, I'm the hardest man that's ever played football. And then whoever it was just shoulder barges him and he goes absolutely flying into the West End and they score. Oh dear. And you do, you know, is he going to be, because one of the things people always accuse Pontus of was being kind of all noise and not a lot of heat. But he also, yeah, he kept his first half performance wasn't, I wasn't a huge fan of it because he likes, I don't know if it's part of the system, but he likes defending the penalty area. So there, whenever the ball got switched, those big diagonals were going to their winger and it was always, we let him have the ball and then face him up.
Yeah, it was narrow, wasn't it? Like there was no gap between him and the centre half.
And you'd think if he, you know, he's a big, strong, shaven-headed lad and you think you just beat him to the ball, like challenge 50-50, like, don't leave him in the space, but I guess it's what we're going to do.
I wonder just on that, Moscow, do you think it was because they would prefer Wolves to take the cross rather than try and run at us?
It seems that way, because then we have Llorente and Koch or whoever will be playing them today to head it away and Melier to try and catch it. But then we did see on the goal, and there was the chance just before half-time when Melier made that brilliant save where Wolves were able to kind of just cross it, head it down, pass it, shoot. And it's all a little bit much. I would, you know, maybe like Rasmus to just kill a man. It's like, he can't have the ball if he's dead.
He looks capable.
And he showed that in the second half with that tackle because that was, although the player survived, I think their dignity did not. And it was an absolutely brilliant tackle. So we won't hold that first goal against him too much because we won in the end. So it all evens out by the full time whistle. And also it meant that I could do my thing of putting a bet on us after we concede to win. So I profited from it. Obviously nobody should gamble. They should do drugs. But
only paracetamol and ibuprofen.
Yeah, and only if they're in pain and if it's under, I mean, you can buy, you know, in America you can buy like tubs of like 200 ibuprofen.
Can you?
Yeah, you can.
You'll have to find out from our American visitors in the comments.
But they need to be careful because that's not healthy. And none of this is healthy. But yeah, I did, I was quite pleased with that old comeback because it didn't work much last season. But England was when we weren't behind. But today they came back to win. And Rodrigo, the first goal as well was really good. That was another great example of what we're looking for this season. It was, who won the ball? It was Brendan tackled them in their own penalty area. Jackie's onto the ball. And then Rodrigo makes a great bit of space to shoot. Happy day.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Days. And what do you think of the rest of the new boys then? In terms of like Aronson and Adams, I thought Adams was really, really good. He was so busy all the time. What a pain in the arse for the opposition to play against. He got caught and turned a couple of times, but that'll come, I think, won't it, with more Premier League experience, just learning, you know, how to position your body and all the rest of it.
Yeah, again, that first half, he seems to just be winning every second ball. He just seems to attract it or always be in this space where the ball ends up and he can just nudge it to a Leeds player, which I think that was where our pressing was really good. And you can see how kind of frantic makes it sound less controlled than I mean, but it is just a bit frantic and it was almost wearing Wolves down. Where I think it was the first one where like you say, they were kind of trying to keep the ball at the back, and eventually it was just, oh, you're going to have it because you've got players all over us. So just, yeah, you take control.
And Aaronson was a bit similar in that regard, wasn't it? Like just buzzing around, being everywhere. He's just got that, he's got a touch of the sauce, the magic, that he's got something about him as Aaronson. I just really like it. There's just something very, I think he's got a magnetism.
Yeah, I liked him. Him and Jack Harrison kind of dovetail nicely on either side of that. Because again, it is that just the energy of, even when things don't quite come off for him, they're just pests. And as defenders, you must just think, oh, can you please just bugger off and leave us alone? Because Harrison did some really nice things. There was a beautiful cross from him in the second half, right onto Bamford's head, which
it
was a good save. Yeah.
Bit close to keeper if you're going to be picky, but better than I could do.
That would have been a beautiful moment if that had gone in.
What, Bamford?
Yeah, just for that third, to make it just quite nice. And Bamford, I thought, had a bit of a tough time with his touch. So if that had just nestled in, it would have been a lovely way to end the afternoon.
He looked like a footballer who hasn't played for a year.
But then I'd completely forgotten about the days when Bamford's first touch used to infuriate. But we were back to, the ball kind of bouncing off him, which I don't think helped at the start of the second half, because quite often he was giving the ball back to Wolves quite a lot. And yeah, I'd completely forgotten about it because he scored loads of goals and became the England international and the brilliant player that he is. But then I was like, it threw me back to the Championship, and I was like, oh yeah, he can't fucking trap a ball, can he? Shit. But yeah, we all have things in our lives to work on, and that can be one for him. It's
got
him. There was not only that cross though, but there was Jackie did the one in the end of the first half when it was a low cross right across their goalkeeper, Rodrigo front post, Bamford back post, neither gets the touch, but two players in the 6-yard box is really, really good. And we did it again in the second half. I can't remember who it was. Harrison crossed. I think it came from the other side.
It was Aaronson that crossed that, but it was almost the same thing, wasn't it? Where it was just belted across goal,
yeah,
and people just missed it.
And then Pascal went and kept it in for a corner, which was really good. And
painkillers update waiting for you, by the way. This is exciting.
Okay. Yeah. Bamford taking the ball off their goalkeeper's toe. That was a good first touch.
Yeah, bloody hell that.
And really unfortunately, I wish we'd scored from that. That would have been hilarious.
Our friends on the other side of the pond, Lance is saying that he's just bought a family pack of ibuprofen. That's two 250 count bottles. So 500 ibuprofen in Lance's cupboard. And Jane just follows that up by saying, we don't have healthcare, so we have to take anti-inflammatories by the bucket. Don't take a bucket load.
I mean, if you are a new Leeds fan, then, you know, 500 painkillers
That'll last you the cost of the season, hopefully.
You'll
get you through to the World Cup. Something
but,
like
but go careful, friends.
Oh, dear me.
I've just seen the video of Marsh and Large. I don't know what's going on, but Marsh is like pointing in his face and pointing back. So, that's good.
You see, this is the thing. It's like now we've got the pressure of the summer all finished. You can kind of embrace Jesse's quirks and his personality, can't you? Because this trying to rub people up the wrong way stuff, when you've won, it's great. So just keep winning and do it as much as you like, because we like the needle, don't we?
That was probably the best thing he did when he came in last season, was just wind up opposition managers. There was sort of the scrapping at Wolves, which was very good, with Liam Cooper just popping his head up to go, fuck off, which was really nice. And then it was Dean Smith, wasn't it, who he didn't shake his hand ruined his daughter's birthday, which... he deserves to have a 5-year contract just for that reason, I think. So yeah, more of that, Jesse, because it will, you can tell, I can think people are really hating my opposition fans.
Colin, or Colin, if you're in America, depending on how you pronounce it. I was going to say, there's a Stars and Stripes there in the profile pic in the YouTube comments, so I don't want to get it wrong. Asking about Strouk, what do you think of him at left back? Moments when he got caught, I think, and his physique is that of a centre half, I thought. And there were moments where
his physique is that of a 17th century cavalier.
That's true. Yeah.
Correct.
But I thought he did pretty well, all things considered. He's clearly not a natural fullback. He doesn't have the natural tendency to pile in and do the overlaps and the underlaps and all that, does he? But I thought he did okay.
Yeah, I think I've said it before, but I think defensively we can have the best left back in the world and we will still get caught out in those spaces. That's just how we're going to play. But I do think a left back who is used to playing left back going forward would really help balance the team. But Strouk, he's a talented footballer, isn't he?
Yeah.
He just does a good job. I know it might not be perfect, but I think he does well there.
He started the move to the winning goal as well. Was it a free kick? I can't remember, but I noticed on the replay began with the ball at his feet and he passed it to another Leeds player.
Who was?
Oh, the lad, you know, the fella.
Oh,
it
yeah.
was the lad. I started doing my notes in felt tip pen and it hasn't helped. All it means is that my fingers are covered in blue felt tip. Where's the winning goal? I wrote it down. What minute did we score? Right, here we go. Pascal Stroik 2, Tyler Adams. He gave it to Matches Click. Then it's a really good ball to Bamford on the byline and he crossed it for Brendan Aaronson, despite what the haters will say about it being an OG. Brendan Aaronson scored the goal. So I don't know if it was a free kick that Stroik started that from, but it looked like he quickly had the ball and played it through. And he did the job and got forward quite a lot. I don't think we'd be trusting his crossing. There was a good moment, not a good moment, but it made me laugh when he tried to pass the ball 5 yards to Jackie. And it was an awful ball. He did his best to get it under control and then it turned out, like, come on, just maybe I think there was an element of like, just go back. Don't try and come up by the halfway line and help me.
What do you think? Right. I have to ask, just to rewind back to the start of the game, when we were 5 minutes in and 1-0 down, what did you think? What was your thought? I'm like, oh God, here we go again. I was so looking forward to this and it's happening again.
It was really painful, that first goal as well, because you could see it coming from a mile off once Christensen had sort of missed the ball. And then you could see the player free at the back post. And then you could see the other player who eventually scored running in for the knockdown. The finish was a bit of a fluke, wasn't it?
Because it hit into the ground.
Yeah. It into the ground. It was a bit of an awkward one. But they're a weird one, Wolves, because they're probably, given what twats they are, basically, they're an awful team to go 1-0 down to because immediately then they're just wasting time. But then it makes it all the more satisfying to come back and beat them then and to have that last 10 minutes where we could time waste. And give them a taste of their own medicine. Yeah, very nice.
It was funny because, you know, if you did hear or see the interview with Angus Kinnear in which he was talking about why they made the change with Bielsa, and he was saying, you know, in the Premier League, if you won 2-0 down inside the first 10 minutes, then you can almost say you've lost. And I thought, oh God, those words just started echoing around in my head thinking, is this it? Are we in for this season again? But actually, I thought we came into it. And that's why I was saying when I tweeted out at half time that we dominated the first half. I thought we grew into the game
and
then took charge of it. And our plan, we started to execute our plan a lot better.
Yeah, I think maybe psychologically we dominated it. Like we were in charge of Wolves, but they still had some big chances. Melier, I think, has had a really good game again today. And I do wonder what we would be like without him. But we have him.
Spider Boy.
Yeah, Spider Boy is the best.
It was actually someone's mentioned on the comments that the commentator who was doing the coverage today called him Spider Boy in the comments.
Really?
Yeah. Which I like to think they've got from us.
Or everything good comes from us. I noticed the...
we should have copyrighted it when we had a chance.
The guy who kicked off all the Harrison to Newcastle controversy doing the interviews in Australia called him Jackie. See? And nobody was doing that before we came along, were they?
There is a point here that has been raised. Let me just track it back.
It's
an interesting one.
Don't like it.
Ryan is saying that the crowd seemed to turn quicker than last season. Is that a fair observation? Like the crowd started to get a little bit wound up? When we were on the back foot for that 20 minutes is what I think he means. The crowd was sort of getting a little bit unsettled is probably the right word. Just those grumbles about Leeds constantly turning over possession and just being hemmed in.
I always think with that, what are we meant to do? When you just see Leeds player sort of carelessly lose the ball and the opposition player win it really easily, there is always going to be a bit of a fucking come on, sort it out. I don't know. Like immediately after after Wolves scored, it went quiet a little bit, but it was very quickly into a we are Leeds or matching on together. I can't remember. But when there is, because it was genuinely like 20 minutes as well. It wasn't just like they had 5 minutes where it was a right, come on. It was like, right, come on. And then 15 minutes later, you're still thinking, can we have a touch? So, I don't know. The atmosphere was good.
The crowd never properly turned, did it? There was just that grumble of, come on, get a grip on this. And we did.
I think
we went and scored, which was great, and we won.
Yeah, it was important to score when we did, because the crowd could have, like a malaise could have settled, but I don't think it really did.
Yeah, I think 20 absolute minutes without the ball was, we were quite well behaved.
Especially because we've been accustomed, whether people agree with it or not, we're accustomed to possession football, aren't we, over the last few years? So we just need to get used to the new style. And I'm sure the new style doesn't factor in 20 minutes without the ball completely, but it's the first game of the season. They're learning the system, aren't they?
Yeah, lots of things were different. It's like why I'm, you know, still getting used to this idea of the fullback not being tight to the winger. It's different. We'll get used to it.
Oh, bless.
As long as we keep winning, that'll help as well.
Talking about America again, how wholesome is this? This is proper white picket fences stuff. Aaronson on the win. I can't stop smiling. because this is such a wonderful place. God bless that boy.
And I was
worried
about that.
God bless the United States of America.
Because when he turned up with leaving behind his basically his beautiful Instagram lifestyle in Salzburg that he's been living for years.
It's a Hollister advert. It's an Abercrombie & Fitch advert, isn't it?
It's a chocolate box. It's the Sound of Music. It looked like every day of his life was just beautiful. And trading that all in for a training ground opposite a prison seemed, much as I love the city of Leeds, like I was considering moving to Salzburg if I could have Brendan Aaronson's rich life there. But if he thinks it's a beautiful place, I'm happy he feels that way.
Beeston is beautiful.
It is today. Days like today, it's wonderful.
Some follow-ups on the beef on the touchline. Graham Smith has just tweeted out saying, Large says he heard something in the first half from Marsh that, in his opinion, you cannot say, so didn't accept the apology, but asks the media not to make a big deal of it. We won't, of course. And he ended by congratulating Leeds and the fans and so on for the win. No issue with the result.
If he doesn't want the media to make a big deal of it, don't tell us what it's all about.
Apple pie. Perlow's beard says, Brendan Aaronson is as wholesome as apple pie. Bruno Large is not. That's cute, is that? Like, I'm not mad about this, but I am going to tell you that I'm mad about something.
Yeah, there's something there that I should be mad about. I wonder what he said. God, I won't rest until I know. I hope it was something really, really outrageous. What can't you say? Maybe I know what it'll be.
It might have been aluminium.
It's what? It's
aluminium, you guys.
It'll be when Huang went down right in front of him because, was it Rasmus?
Did he put
his arm out?
Huanged him to the floor.
And the only thing, compared to their goalkeeper absolutely smashing Rasmus in the face, it looked on the replay on the little telly.
Oh, sorry.
Ring the bell.
You were talking for so long, I started thinking about something else. Sorry.
That there was like a little brush of his eye, but then he went down rolling around as if he'd, you know.
Like a Wolves player.
Like a Wolves player, right in front of Jesse Marsh's feet. Marsh had a massive strop about that because he had essentially like a dolphin flapping around in front of him. And from his point of view, it happened right in front of him. And I bet he's called Huang a cheat because you can't do that, can you? So I am filling in the gaps that, you know, we have to imagine something because Bruno won't tell us. That's my kind of educated guess is what would happen. You can have my ill-educated guess, which would be that he said all sorts of things about his mum, but I don't think that will have happened.
One Wolves player went down in the second half, essentially just because he had a chance to score. So they sort of broke away and nearly scored. And then the striker, or whoever it was, the winger, just decided to lay down in Leeds penalty area. It was like he just went, I have to get back and join in.
He might have been tired.
He had a proper, a long lie down and then walked the long way back to go off the pitch when he'd had treatment. We know what Wolves are like.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up then, boys, and decide who was your man of the match and how do you feel?
I feel good.
Yeah.
I'd like us to do that a lot more.
I almost feel, how good I feel is that even, did you see that bit when, is it Neto, where's their number 7? Did a spinny back heel through
which was annoyingly dead good.
It was really good. And so because it's been such a good day and we won, I'm even in the mood of like, wow, it was cool to see that bit of skill. Players doing good stuff is always pretty good. It's just a shame when it's like a prick. So I even enjoyed that. And good days.
Feels sort of serene. Everything's just good. It's like everything's all
we
right
needed
now, isn't
it? Just start with a win, didn't we? It just makes such a difference to how we can go forward. How long did it take to win last season? It took ages, didn't it?
September or October, something stupid, wasn't it?
Yeah. And so now, even if, who do we play next? It's Southampton.
Southampton away.
And then Everton?
Something like
Chelsea,
that.
Chelsea. Yeah, Chelsea might be. But no, Chelsea will be rubbish this year. Even if next couple of games, draw.
Second of October versus Watford last year.
We've got to win there to kind of keep us through whatever comes through the next couple of weeks. And we know we can do it as well, because if we start off without a win, you have the big question of like, well, can we? You know, everything's changed with all these new players.
It's the first thing, it's the marker you've laid down for the season.
So we know we can do it. And Wolves, they're an irritating bunch of
characters,
boring bastards, managed by a dramatic fool. But they're not a bad team. So it's a good team to beat to start off with.
It's been pointed out by Richard in the comments, we're 3 points and a 5-goal difference swing better off than the same point last season. You've got to feel good. I feel good. And I think absolute credit to Jesse Marsh for that today. It feels like a huge weight has been lifted and things are a lot better. We can kind of just go, this feels okay.
We're above Liverpool, right? Are we?
Probably. Yeah. Our natural home.
Drew with Fulham. Our Mitrovic scored two, the player I said won't do it this season. So
let's get to bloody Europe. Let's get to bloody Europe.
I mean, sky's the limit here, isn't it?
So let's just wrap it up. So did you pick a man of the match there, Moscow?
No, I didn't. I hate doing that.
Pick one.
Oh,
star of the game.
It sound
player of the moment.
It sounds boring if I say Melier. It'll sound like I'm being, but I thought he was brilliant.
I was just thinking the same.
Aronson. In fact, yeah, Aronson was great in the first half. Scored the goal, whatever anybody wants to say. And and he's living his, and he has called Leeds a beautiful place. So what more do we want?
And it's his debut as well. It's wholesome as apple pie. We'll wrap it up there then. So if you are a TSB Plus member, have a look on the website when Moscow fixes whatever I broke.
Oh, the website is fine. Just go to the menu, like, and go in the menu under watch. It says talk to us, TSB Plus. Click that and you've got the feedback form to fill in and you can rate the players and then we'll have a man of the match rather than us trying to desperately guess one. And also, please, please, please do leave us voice messages. You just press the big button and then... it'll turn your microphone on and you just say some stuff and then it's got a, there'll be a box asking your name and that will be perfect. And
yeah, because really we're revamping the Leeds half of propaganda this season into its own little show. So we want to hear from you as well. So have a look on the website for all that. Leave your player ratings as well so we can tell you who your man of the match is. I think that wraps it up. Gentlemen, it's been an enjoyable first day of the season. 37 to go. Should we just win 37 more and call it a day?
Sounds good to me.
Yes.
Easy.
Thanks for listening and watching. We'll see you soon.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.